I'm Roger Baker, Executive Director of the Stratfor Center for Applied Geopolitics at RAIN, a global center of excellence for geopolitical intelligence and analysis. Learn how you can put geopolitics to work for your organization at RAINnetwork.com.
Hello, and welcome to RAIN's Essential Geopolitics podcast. I'm Emma Kami, and I'll be speaking with RAIN's Asia-Pacific analyst Nate Fischler about political instability in Vietnam following the second forced resignation of a leader in a little over a year. Hi, Nate. How are you?
I'm doing well, Emma. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on. So just to give a brief kind of overview, when the most recent resignation occurred of President Vo Van Thung in March, the government released a statement saying that Thung had violated party rules. Can you explain the unique organization of Vietnam's government and what these recent forced resignations indicate for the future of the party and the overall stability of the government as the country begins to prepare for the 2026 leadership turnover?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. So small correction, though, because there's actually a third leader of Vietnam that has been that has resigned recently, the chairman of the National Assembly, Vung Dinh Hue. That was last month at the end of April. So in the course of a little over a year, you have two presidents and the National Assembly chief basically being forced to resign for these unspecified rules violations in the Vietnamese Communist Party. So this speaks to the unique structure that you alluded to. Vietnam has a rule by consensus government model. There are four leaders. There's no paramount leader formally, and these are the chairman of the Vietnamese Communist Party, the prime minister, the president, and the National Assembly chief. So while there is no formal paramount leader, de facto the Vietnamese Communist Party chief is the paramount leader, so what we have now is two of these four leadership pillars in Vietnam have been vacated, and they will fill them again, of course, and they're being filled currently on an interim basis. But this diminishes their power, the power of these offices in the meantime, while elevating the power of the other two. Though there's a wrinkle to that in that the Vietnamese Communist Party chief, Nguyen Phu Trong, is rumored to be in ill health. His public appearances have diminished of late, and Vietnam also has a fairly opaque system, so we're not 100% sure, but it does seem like his day-to-day role has been reduced, and there may be some machinations happening under him that he is not completely in control of.
Interesting. I know it's far off, but can you give any indication about what this could mean for the future political dynamics in Vietnam beyond the 2026 election?
Yeah, sure. I should follow that up by responding to the run-up to 2026 a little bit. So this is all happening in the context of what's called the Blazing Furnace anti-corruption campaign that's been ongoing in Vietnam since 2016 at this point. So long-running anti-corruption campaign. It's netted thousands of party members, government officials, even private sector business people, high profile, low profile, all up and down the board. People have been arrested and prosecuted and imprisoned and some even executed under this anti-corruption campaign. And all three leaders that we have just referenced, President Phan Minh Chinh last year, and then Thung this year, and Vung Dinh Hue, all three of them were basically forced to resign under the pretext that they violated some statute or they committed some corrupt act, or their subordinates committed some corrupt act, and this has caused them to resign. So what you have in the meantime is this is all, I mean, a large part of this, While Vietnam does have a corruption problem, a large part of this is definitely angling for that 2026 leadership turnover. That will be the next time Vietnam elects or appoints its four leadership pillars. And interestingly, all three of those gentlemen were on a very short list of people that would actually be eligible to become the Vietnamese Communist Party chairman in 2026. So what's happened as a result of these dismissals or resignations is that list is much shorter now, and very few people are actually positioned to become that de facto paramount leader in 2026. But among them is the Minister of Public Security, Tho Lam, who is running this anti-corruption campaign. He is now probably the front runner to become the next party chief. And this speaks to a shift in Vietnam's government that is ongoing, and this is a shift toward more national security, ideological discipline, sort of an anti-Western, anti-Western might be a little too strong, but at least a skepticism of liberal democracy and a skepticism of Western culture sort of penetrating into Vietnam. So a more conservative bent, a more national security bent. And in the process, you've had people who are sort of ascribed as technocrats that have been replaced here. So these are more outward-facing, pro-business people, more liberally inclined, who have who are good interlocutors with Western counterparts. So that shift has been ongoing, and it's intensified with the removal of these three leaders. And it points to a trend where until 2026. We're going to see infighting, factionalism within the party as what I suspect is what the Minister of Public Security, Tho Lam, will be positioning himself to ascend to that top spot. And it's very convenient that his potential competitors are being removed one by one. So to move on then to beyond 2026, if this trajectory is an accurate one, and Lam takes over, then this could speak to a sort of a diminishing pro-business attitude in Vietnam. Western companies will come under much more scrutiny, monitoring. It'll be a little bit more like China has developed, where the government is more highly suspect of foreign businesses and foreign organizations and the potential to, steal state secrets, the potential to try to undermine the existing order, undermine the one-party monopoly system that Vietnam and China both have. If we do see the direction unfold that way, then that is a likely outcome.
You mentioned that the person in charge of the anti-corruption efforts is on the shortlist for the party chairman position. I know you said the government processes are quite unclear, but how much of these forced resignations are legitimate party violations and how much are background machinations and attempts to make that list shorter, I guess?
Sure. Well, I think it's probably fair to say that they all did commit violations one way or another because of the rampant systemic level of corruption in Vietnam. The issue, since it's politicized, the politicization is not that they are innocent, so to speak, but rather that the scrutiny is selective. So they're not going to, go after certain people, whereas they will target other people. So in all three of these cases, it seems to be, even though they haven't explicitly stated it outright, except in the 2023 example, that they were held responsible for corruption of subordinates. None of these three are alleged to have engaged in corruption themselves, merely allowed it to happen under their purview, which is a violation. So to be fair, to the full extent of the law and the party regulations, that would count. So they're not fabricated, to my knowledge. It's just that the scrutiny is highly selective.
To bring us back to kind of the bigger picture, will the government turmoil, do you think, have any short or long-term implications for foreign investment in the country? And what should companies with interest in Vietnam be on the lookout for?
Sure, yeah. It does remain to be seen. But a power struggle, factionalism in Vietnam speaks poorly to its attractiveness relative to its Southeast Asian neighbors. One of the things that is most attractive about Vietnam for foreign investors is the political stability. So the political system in Vietnam is criticized frequently in the West for being, a one-party dictatorship. But the benefit to that from a business perspective is you have some certainty, you have policy continuity, you know who you're going to be dealing with. So that stability aspect is definitely speaks to Vietnam's favor as they compete with other Southeast Asian countries to draw in foreign investment. I think Malaysia or Indonesia or Thailand. And some of those countries have really reckoned with quite bad political instability in recent years that has made Vietnam look a lot better by comparison. So, it depends on what level of chaos the Vietnamese Communist Party allows to unfold in the course of this power struggle. As of now, in the immediate term, we're not seeing much indication that this is driving away foreign investment, but a prolonged or worsening situation. And once we get closer to 2026, if some of this stuff comes more out into the open, and we have more high-profile resignations, and perhaps even if Traum, the current party chief, becomes incapacitated or passes away due to his health, then we'll have an even greater crisis. So I guess the short answer there is, for now, it seems okay. The government and the party are managing the political instability reasonably enough to not be scaring away foreign businesses for now, but they'll need to continue basically keeping that in check, or else they do risk an erosion of foreign investor sentiment in the country.
Well, thank you so much, Nate, for your analyses. It's always a pleasure having you on the podcast.
All right. Thank you, Emma.
Nate is an Asia-Pacific analyst with RAIN. You can find more of his analyses and interviews at rainnetwork.com. With RAIN's geopolitical intelligence platform, you and your team are equipped with industry-leading intel so you can anticipate, mitigate, and respond to emerging threats. You can sign up or learn more at our website, rainnetwork.com. That's RAINE network.com. I'm Emma Kami. Thanks for listening.